To you. And my scripture reading is in James 3, starting at the 13th verse. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercies and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for these words. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season of preparation. Preparation, Lord, to remember your gift of salvation through the blood that was shed by your only begotten Son, Yeshua. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that gift of salvation and for that sacrifice. And Heavenly Father, bless the remainder of this service and the words that we express. And Heavenly Father, let the thoughts that are made accomplish your will. And in all these things, we pray you praise you through Yeshua's name. And amen. And I would like to look first at what I'm going to give you as our text today. And it is the verse 18. And so let's look at that verse. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. And the seed that I want you to think about today that I would like to sow is this message. And this message is sown in peace. And we like to think that we are about making peace through seed that is shown, and we call upon the gift of the Holy Spirit to bring this to the ones who are listening, and that it accomplishes that which the Heavenly Father would have. My message title is Remember to Remember. Remember to remember. I know that there's thoughts that would immediately enter your mind about what's most important to remember in your spiritual life. And we know that there's, we could go into all kind of issues here. We're just going to deal in one aspect of those things. Maybe hit on several primary points. But basically, the thought is things important. Important to God. To remember. And not only to remember, but to remember to remember. Because so many choose to forget. And willingly fail to remember. The late Sam Levinson said, "My wife and I and our children like to believe that God still dwells in our house. So we feel that it is only proper that on the Sabbath we should return the courtesy of visiting him in his house." And so we are today. We're in the house of God. And we are visiting Him in the house that is known to represent Him. So we want to do that in the very best way that we can. And the very best way that we can is to show that we respect Him by bringing the truth to all that has ears to hear and a mind to discern and a heart to accept. These thoughts, too, is the expression of the psalmist who said in Psalms 42 and 4, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you know that thousands of years ago, there were people of God. There was a king of Israel who loved the Father and loved His house and all of the things that represented the loving Almighty Creator. He loved Him so much that with joy it was that it came to the Holy Blessed Sabbath. And He went with others to the house of God. And He didn't go as if He was going to a funeral. But He went when He went to the house of the Lord. He went with joy. And He went with thanksgiving. And He went with praise to the Heavenly Father, because He knew He had a heart that was right with God, that God looked upon favorably. And His heart had a heart of love for the Father and for His house. I'd like to go to Exodus 20 and 8. And I want all of us to read this together. And perhaps all of the ones who are listening to this message by other means, including the internet, I'd like you too to turn to this place in God's Word and read this aloud with us. And remember, the title message is Remember to Remember. Exodus 20 and 8, and we're going to read through 11. And let's read this together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Again, from last week, from the message last week and the comments, can any other being make what God has made holy unholy? And I don't care if you're talking about the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, or anyone else. Can anyone change what Almighty God has set in motion and is already determined. God says, Yahweh, the Father in heaven says, the seventh day of each and every week is holy, sanctified, set apart. And you will find no exception to that anywhere in God's Word to the reasonable person discerning the Scriptures. The Lord bless the Sabbath day. If the Lord blesses it, can anybody unbless it? No, only God Himself can unbless it. Only God Himself can make it unholy once it is holy. Where's the problem? With you. With your interpretation of the Scriptures. That's exactly where the problem is. You think you've got it figured out, but you don't. Because what God has made holy has evermore been holy and stays holy. Remember the Sabbath day. There's only one day a week that's known as the Sabbath. There's only one day of the week that's known as the seventh day. Every other day is known by other names, whether it's Sunday, Friday, Tuesday. Only one is known by the majority of the earth as Sabbath. Only one is accepted as the seventh day. It always was. It always has been. It has never changed. It has never been lost throughout all eternity. To this point in history, what has always been the first day of the week is still the first day of the week. What has always been the seventh day of the week is still the seventh day of the week. Sabbath has never been lost. Neither has Sunday. Neither has the first day of the week. Do you think the Catholic people have lost track of the first day of the week and which day it is, and that they are the ones that set in motion the change from the Sabbath, seventh day, to Sunday, the first day? Do you think they've lost track of that? No, they'll let you know real quick that it was them. They made it. They know that the whole earth is following along behind them. They know the whole earth has accepted that kind of change. Do you think the Jewish people, Israel, Judah, you think they don't know what is the seventh day of the week? And do you think they don't know that it is still and always has been the Sabbath day? The weekly Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week? Absolutely they know. They're just as sure as the Catholic people of what day is the first day or Sunday. There's no question. Why do you think the Almighty Father God chose to use the word remember, or Hebrew word meaning the same thing? Why do you think He chose to use that word? It's the only one in all of His law, His royal law. Why do you think He chose to use that word? He could have expressed it some other way, but He didn't. Don't you know that He knew far ahead of time what was going to happen, who was going to change things, and that the world as a whole Generally, mainstream Christianity, 95% of Christian people and Christian churches was going to follow right along and accept that kind of thing. Even though you won't find any basis for it in all of God's Word. You struggle to even find the first day of the week. And of course, you would never find the word Sunday indicating the first day of the week. But you do find the seventh day of the week. You do find the Sabbath day tied with the seventh day of the week. And you know, on most calendars that you have at home, you can look at your calendar and you can tell what's the first day of the week and what is the seventh day. It's not a hard thing to do for most people and with most calendars. How is it that the world just doesn't get it? Because they choose to forget. Either willingly, subconsciously, implied by others and the faith that they have in other people rather than in Yahweh, in the Word of God, in our Heavenly Father, and in the Word that He gave us to go by. We need to return to justifying our faith and our beliefs by what we read and study out of His Word, not by what we hear when we go to church, not by the faith that we have in other men and how they choose to interpret the words that they read, and wanting you to just follow right along like a herd of sheep or something. Not questioning. Not wondering. Wonder why that is in there. Why doesn't most people, whenever they read the New Testament, why do they run... What are they thinking when they run across the Sabbath in the New Testament? And that word, what are they thinking? It's just a continuation of what came before. It's a continuation of the Torah, the Psalms, the prophets. Just a continuation. And for me, just a verification, as if one needed to be. There's all kind of distortions and deceptions that are in the Christian world today. And it's because those people choose to believe something that someone else is interpreting rather than read it and know for themselves what the Word is speaking to them. Prove the Word. Put line upon line and precept upon precept to come to your conclusions about what the Word is saying to you. I would like to go to Numbers 15 and start at verse 37. And we're going to look at verse 37 through 40. But Numbers 15, and here's one other thing when we think about the word remember. First thing that always comes to my mind naturally, because I believe this all my life. God placed it in my heart and life when I was as early as you want to go. But here's something else. Here's another issue. Numbers 15 and 37. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue." Numbers 15:39, "It shall be a tassel for you to look at." This is the purpose of the tassel that God wanted the children, His children, to put upon their garments. "It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God." Do you see there the basis for why some people wear tassels on their garment and has the one little thread of blue within those tassels? It's a thing of remembrance. When they look at those tassels and the blue that is among the other threads, it is to remind them to be faithful to their God, that they have a God that has set out laws for them to live by. His royal law, do's and don'ts. And the thing is, the tassel, when you look at it, is to remind you that God expects you to try your best to keep His law, to do them. As you read in all of God's Word, not just the what is known as the Older Testament, or those things that God set in place before His Son came to this earth to die for your sins. But He set these laws in place forever, for all of man and mankind, not just the children of Israel, not just for Israel of old, but for Israel and God's people today, of which you are a part through your belief in Yeshua, through your acceptance of salvation, through the shed blood of Yeshua as the perfect Passover sacrificial lamb. Through your belief and acceptance of Him, you are one of God's people, and you are a descendant of Abraham. You are a part of Judah. You are a part of Israel. You are a part of God's family. And nothing can ever separate you from His love and from the promises that He has for all of His children, including eternal life, including the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and comfort and remind and keep. And this tassel that we're reading about is just a visual reminder. You look at the tassel, you remember God gave you laws to abide by. And you should say within your heart and mind, "I need to do my best to remember that God wants me to keep His law, that God wants me to do my best to abide in His truths, whatever they are and what all it includes. Look upon the tassel. Remember the things that it stands for. And then do them. Don't let some evangelical minister or some denomination, don't let them decide what's important for you in your life and what your beliefs are. Base them upon God's Word. It either agrees and you should do them, or it doesn't, and you should just throw them out with the water. Don't let someone else decide what fate holds for you, what eternity means to you, whether or not it's all over at your last breath, and that's it, over and done. Don't let someone else decide that for you, but you decide for yourself based on putting line upon line and precept upon precept and accepting all of the truths that Yahweh has for you. Eternity is at risk. God wants you in His family. He wants you to accept His truth and abide in Him and obey Him. And through the blood that was shed by the Passover Lamb, Yeshua, you are saved. As you abide in Him and hold on to His hand and those beliefs and the salvation, the eternal plan that Yahweh has for you, you are always, forever saved, justified. Are you going to still commit sins or shortcomings or whatever? Maybe. I don't know. Hopefully we can be our very best and be pleasing to Yahweh. But and if something happened and we fall short, as humans do, as we discussed in our Torah study this morning, if by some chance, from a human standpoint, fleshly standpoint, we don't do what we should do, we fall short, then the blood of Jesus Christ covers that shortcoming. God decides. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to think about any human being deciding ultimately my faith, my fate, F-A-T-E. But I can rest upon the Almighty Creator, that He knows what is right. He knows and sees a person's heart and mind. And it is His decision that will ultimately decide whether we make it in. But I'm explaining to you right now and believing with all my heart, you are saved and you will make it in. If you accept His plan and salvation and the blood of His only begotten Son for satisfying the penalty of death. Deuteronomy 88, let's go to verse 11. Deuteronomy 88, verse 11. And we read this, beware that you do not forget, in other words, remember, the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Don't forget, is what it's saying. Remember His commandments and His judgments and His statutes. Now let's go down to verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It is He that gives you power to do what you do. Let's look at Psalms 103 and 18. Psalms 103 and 18. To keep as to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. You know, there's been several covenants, but you know, one of the first was, first of all, what's a covenant? We can say that a covenant is an agreement. Of an agreement in this situation between God and his people. And one of the first covenants was that God would give his law to his people, and the people would decide to accept them, to try their best to do them. That was one of the first covenants. Keep and remember the commandments that he has given to you. And keep and remember that he has appointments for you to come to him for various purposes and for various events. And that's where that word feast comes in your New Testament. And I like the word rather than feast. Festivals. And if you look up those words, particularly the word feast from the King James Version of the Bible, then ask yourself, why is that word in there? Am I doing something or not doing something that pertains to this word feast? And ask yourself, why is this word in there? What is the implication? Let's see about Jeremiah 31 and 33. And I remind you to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember your appointed times that the Lord has given you to remember. And to come to him, assembling yourselves together in his house. Jeremiah 31 and 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, this is something that is forever. To us, it is forever. He puts his laws, and his laws are not burdensome. His laws will not be done away with. And he puts them in our heart and in our mind so that we don't have to think, what are they? Who gave them? Are they still for me today? You'll find those answers so clearly within his word for you. Do you know what the word remember comes from? Remind. But do you know when you think about that word, it's a word that is important to God. It is a word that places extra emphasis upon whatever it's attached to. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be pertinent. But it's extra emphasis upon whatever is it attached to. And is it attached? And it is attached to the Sabbath day, each and every seventh day of every week. It is attached to every year to remember your appointments with him at his festival times and at Passover. and at the days of unleavened bread. Remember God's gifts of salvation, eternal life, His Holy Spirit, His gifts to you of wisdom, of truth, and of love. And you know it takes all of His gifts to be that complete person that you need to be and that is acceptable to Him. He wants you to have His gifts. Otherwise, it would not be a gift. He freely gives these gifts to you. You need to want them. You need to accept them. You need to have them as part of your daily life. With these gifts that I'm speaking of, you also get His promises of continual and overflowing blessings. You get His provisions. You get His deliverances. And this again is that season of deliverance. He has it for you. Just accept it. Tell Yahweh you need it. You want it. You need to be delivered of whatever your problem is, whatever you need deliverance in. He has it for you. He's willing to give it to you. He's willing to deliver you from whatever you need delivering or want delivering in. It's not just words. He will heal you. He will deliver you. And He will give you power to overcome, to be the kind of person you need to be. Remember those gifts. Remember the promises, the blessings that come along with having those gifts and accepting them as part of your life. And in closing, let's read Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. Then you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that wonderful? Do you feel in your heart this morning that the Holy One of Israel has been real to you and has touched you yet again? Great in our midst is Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. I'd like to wish everyone a great and happy Shabbat Shalom. May the overflowing peace of God and the joy of this blessed Sabbath be yours today as you turn your hearts and your thoughts to Him. If you would, stand with me and let's read the blessing of God to us together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father.